Teamwork isn't just nice to have in business, it's the undisputed competitive advantage. When your team members work as a unified force, your whole operation benefits through higher productivity, thriving creativity, and unstoppable momentum. Welcome to the Impactful Teamwork Podcast, where we share with you strategies and tactics to help you develop game-changing teams so that you and your business can make a real difference in the world. Welcome back to Impactful Teamwork. My name is Julia Felton, and I'm your host and guide for the next 20 to 25 minutes as we explore the whole concept of teams. So what is the big deal about teams, and why are teams so popular today? What's changed in our environment and in our economy that makes teaming so critical? And here are a few of my thoughts about why teamwork is more important today than ever, and why I describe it as this superpower that you have in your business that many organizations haven't really unlocked to its full potential. I think teamwork is more important than ever when we're in a service type economy, where we need to empower team members in order to provide amazing customer service. And on the last podcast, where I shared examples of great teamwork, we talked a little bit about Virgin Airlines and about Southwest Airlines. So two examples there of where teams were really empowered to deliver amazing, wow customer service. The other reason is the rapid rate of change that the whole world is going through. There's no single person that can keep up with it all. I often talk about a concept called shared leadership. There's no way the leader can know everything. And as a result of that, we need teams of people working together. There's no way one single leader can know everything. So we need this shared leadership so that it can help assimilate all the different information out there. And of course, as we've talked about in previous podcasts, teamwork provides diversity of perspectives. And teamwork, as we also talked about in the last episode, isn't new. Throughout history, humans have always acted as teams. Go back to the hunter-gatherer age, where we needed to all work together in order to find the food in order to eat. But that kind of changed in the industrial era, where all the automation and machinery that went on, then we didn't need perhaps so much teamwork because everything was automated. But as I said, as we've moved into the information age and the communication age, it's requiring us to return back to that original teamwork that we always did. And we're coming to rely more and more on each other's unique contribution and expertise. And it's my opinion that companies that can harness the untapped potential in individuals really have a competitive advantage in the workplace. So as I said, today's podcast has been inspired by an event that happened last week. Because I was recently facilitating a leadership development day with horses. One of the ways that I help organizations improve teamwork is by curating experiences for them where they come out and they partner with my horses to demonstrate what effective teamwork looks like. So the horse effectively becomes that brand new team member. And how can the team work collectively together to welcome and connect with that new team member, make them part of the herd, and then collectively achieve some goal or objective? And what was particularly interesting about the event that I ran last week was it was an open program. The attendees were individuals from many different companies. And what was incredible to me was that these group of individuals who'd never met each other before, when in the afternoon we put them into a teamwork event, they partnered with one of my little ponies called Thistle. And they had such amazing communication within this group and clarity of direction. And they were all paying attention to what was going on, that they were able to really quite effortlessly get Thistle round an obstacle course. at liberty. And what does that mean? At liberty means that they weren't using a rope to guide or drag her around the course. She freely walked with them around that experience. And it really made me think about, why is it in organizations that teams underperform? Here we were, we had a group of individuals, never met each other before, and yet through this effective communication, clarity of direction, managing their energy of the group effectively, they were able to achieve a remarkable result. And yet in organizations sometimes where we've got people that know each other really well and work together all the time, we don't see this happening. But let's be honest. All teams probably underperform at some point in time, whether it's caused by an individual or whether it's just the structure and the team dynamics that are causing the problem. But before we delve into in this episode to discuss what an underperforming team looks like and how you know a team is underperforming, let's just have a quick definition of what an underperforming team is. We can define it as an individual or a team or a division of a corporation, for example. They are said to be underperforming when the actual achievements fall below the level of performance required or a predefined objective is not being met. Of course, that means it's really important that we're always measuring the performance of our teams to know whether they're performing or not. So there's a couple of academic studies out there that have looked at why teams underperform. And I thought it might be really helpful to share those with you today to give you some context around this. And the first is Hertzberg's hygiene theory. So Frederick Hertzberg in 1959 conducted a study to investigate satisfaction at work. And it showed that people's satisfaction at work resulted from very different factors from the ones that cause a dissatisfaction. And Hertzberg referred to the things that influence job satisfaction as motivating factors, and those that influence dissatisfaction as hygiene factors. So what are these? Motivating factors are things like achievement, recognition, challenge, responsibility, promotion, and personal growth. And these are things that as a leader, we have some kind of influence over. Because we can always give people recognition for doing a great job. And we have some degree over the type of work that we're able to give people to give them a level of challenge. And, you know, in some cases, in terms of promotion as well. And the hygiene factors that cause dissatisfaction include things like the company policy, the salary, benefits, job security, working conditions, and of course, relationships with co-workers. So interestingly, the hygiene factors are actually independent of the motivating factors. So it doesn't mean that if you improve one, you improve the other. And in fact, you can give somebody a pay rise and they're still not motivated. And I'm sure you've heard about that in the workplace, as sometimes leaders and managers try to solve problems by throwing money at it. And actually, that doesn't solve the problem. And I know personally in the past, I've seen people be given promotions that they didn't really want, but bosses thought it would be the thing that would motivate and engage people. And actually, that wasn't the case at all. In fact, in some cases, the promotion was too much for somebody that actually it became a demotivating factor for them. So it's really important as leaders that we balance these two aspects of the motivating factors and the hygiene factors. There was also another piece of research done by J. Richard Hackman, who's a Harvard University professor and social and organizational psychologist. And he spent his career analyzing team effectiveness. And what his research showed was that often team members have difficulty in agreeing the purpose of the teams and the issues of how the team operate together, the team dynamics. And so what that does is it erodes all the benefits that could have come from the team working effectively together. And it often results in underperformance. And what Hackman identified was that successful teams usually have a disciplined and committed manager who sets the team goals and then allows the team members to select their own other team members and their own structures and processes. So effectively, what the manager is doing is setting the direction, but allowing the team to be empowered to create their own structures and bring on board the other people that they feel they need in the team in order to achieve the objectives set out by the business. And in another podcast, I am going to be delving into how important it is for every individual within an organization to understand their role and how they contribute and what their impact is to a team. Because for me, this is fundamental to the success of any team. It's getting the right people in the team at the right time. Jim Collins talks about getting the right people in the right seat on the right bus. And that's exactly the same premise with teamwork. We need to have the right people doing the right role at the right time within the team. Because definitely there are people that are better, for example, at ideas generation, other people that get better at pulling plans and strategies together, others that are better at executing, or maybe others that are even better at the kind of continuous development and refinement of projects and concepts. And if you put the wrong people in the wrong roles at the wrong time, you're not going to get the results that you want. So I think this is a really exciting time for teamwork within organizations, because what this means is that we can create really, really dynamic teams that have, as I said, the right people in the right roles at the right times. And that is going to be so much more effective than having a static team of the same team members that work on projects in the same capacity each time that may not be the right people for that particular project at that time. So this flexibility and this dynamicism within teams, I think, is really important. So what are some of the key reasons why teams underperform, and what can you as a manager and leader look out for to give you signs that a team might be underperforming? Some of these are quite obvious, but it might be that, you know, there's a lot of team absences, people not showing up for work, people not doing what they're meant to be doing. We might also witness a lot of conflict within the team and frustration, and that could be a sign that the team is underperforming. And I say could because actually healthy conflict is a really good thing within teams. And this is, again, a topic that we're going to delve into on another podcast. Patrick Lencioni talks about one of the dysfunctions of a team is conflict. Healthy conflict is really good because it is what allows us to get a diverse perspective on what is happening within the team. And that's super beneficial, as we discovered in podcast number 3 about diversity of teams. Of course, we might see a lack of motivation and enthusiasm in our team members. And we might even hear some back chat and rumors on the grapevine about teams being unhappy. And sometimes what we can also witness is this silo mentality going on, where teams are keeping all the resources for themselves in order to hide the fact that they're underperforming. So if they don't share resources, other people might not know what's going on. So if they hoard resources, they can look more effective and look like they're performing better than perhaps they are. So if we were to summarize the most 5 common reasons why teams and individuals underperform, I'd say they are a lack of clarity and focus, a lack of ability, a lack of confidence, a lack of direction, and a lack of motivation. So let's just quickly dive into each of these. So we're going to notice a lack of clarity and focus when team members keep asking what needs to be done. We need to keep reinforcing the objectives and the timelines for them. So that might indicate that as a manager, we haven't clearly articulated that and people aren't sure what's going on. Lack of ability. It might be that our team members aren't skilled and knowledgeable enough to undertake the tasks that we've given them to do. Now, of course, we always want to provide the opportunity for team members to grow and stretch out of their comfort zone. So we may well need to allocate some tasks that enable that personal growth to happen. But what we want to do is not make that stretch too far that what it does is it demotivates people and they won't attempt something because they think they're going to fail. We always need to ensure that our team members have the right skills and knowledge in order to do the task. And if it's something a little bit out of their remit, ensure that they've got the right support, whether it's coaching and mentoring, to help them through that. Also, sometimes when a team is underperforming through lack of ability, it might actually not be a lack of ability, but a lack of resources. We've seen hoarding going on within the organization, one team keeping a resource and not sharing it with another. So it might be that team actually don't have the resources they need in order to get that particular job done. I have seen on occasions this happen with a team underperformed due to a lack of confidence. Maybe after a restructure, one of those things I went through when I was leading my team through the restructuring from Arthur Andersen to Deloitte, people weren't very confident about what needed to happen. We didn't know the new rules of the game in the new company after the merger. It can also happen as well when somebody joins a new team. They might feel a little bit like an outsider. They're not quite sure how they fit in, and that can dent their confidence. And interestingly, I saw this with my horses. A few years ago, when I was working in the corporate world, I took a sabbatical for a year and I went abroad. And I moved my horse Toby to another yard where he was going to be looked after by my friends for the year while I was abroad. And what I didn't know at that time was that that herd that I moved him into was a really tight-knit herd. They had been together for a number of years and they'd never had any new people into that herd. And Toby found it really difficult to integrate within them. And in fact, that herd effectively probably bullied him a little bit. And he never really fitted in and he didn't enjoy his whole year while he was staying with my friend. And she lived in the most amazing location in the Cotswolds. You would have thought it would have been a horse's dream to be in that location. But actually, because of the dynamics of the herd around him, my horse was pretty miserable. And this is something we see in organizations as well. As I said, new team members coming in, particularly to an established group, that find it difficult to get integrated within it. But perhaps the single most biggest reason for underperformance is this lack of direction, with people not clear on what the goals and objectives are. And this is why I talk about a lot about why an organization needs a really clear purpose. Individuals within the team need to understand how what they're doing on a particular project contributes to the overall objectives of the organization. And when team members do not understand how what they're doing contributes to the overall objectives of the organization, this is when people can get demotivated and not feel like they're making a contribution. And particularly Gen Z and the millennials really want to be working for organizations where they're making a difference. So as leaders and managers, we really need to make sure that the aims and the direction and goals of the team align with what we're trying to achieve within the company, and team members understand how everything fits together into the whole. And finally, in terms of a signs of an underperforming team, is a lack of motivation. Now, there can be a number of reasons for this. It might just be that a team member is totally disengaged in the organization and doesn't care about doing a good job. And that can be triggered by numerous events, including events in their personal life. Lack of motivation can also just be because people don't understand how what they're doing in their role makes any difference. We haven't joined the dots for them in terms of that direction about how this particular project adds to what we're trying to achieve within the organization. So when something feels like we're doing it for the sake of doing it, rather than it has a really clear purpose, then that can be really disempowering and demotivating for people. So if somebody is really demotivated in a role and disengaged, it's our responsibility, I believe, as a manager and a leader to get to the root cause of what that is. Maybe the person is in the wrong role. Maybe they're in the wrong type of organization. And it's beholden on us to try and find that out and get to a resolution. Because having somebody on your team that is not engaged and participating actively actually brings the whole energy of the team down. And this has a massive ripple effect throughout everybody else. And that is really disempowering and demotivating for the entire organization. I've worked in a team and I've hired somebody into my team who at the time I thought in the interview process would be an amazing fit. And it actually turned out they weren't. And they quite quickly became very demotivated and stopped participating. And this particular person had some amazing skills, so I was keen to keep them in the team. However, the effect of their demotivation, their lack of participation, was palpable on the rest of the team members. And eventually, it took my team saying to me, "Julia, if this person doesn't go, we're all going to leave." That was the effect of what we call one bad apple. One bad apple can have this ripple effect throughout the whole team that isn't helpful. And the spiral effect of that is just incredible. So we always need to be aware of if there is somebody who is underperforming in a team, demotivated, disengaged, we really need to try and remove them from the organization as fast as possible by understanding what that root cause is. We talked on the last episode about Zappos and their wow customer service. One of the things that Zappos also do is after the first month of working for them, they actually offer people money to leave. So if somebody doesn't enjoy working there, Zappos effectively pays them to leave the organization. And that is incredibly powerful because it avoids us having people in our teams, in our organizations that aren't supportive of what we want to achieve. Because Zappos have realized that law of the bad apple, it's not worth having that person around because of the adverse impact they're going to have on everybody else. Before we close today, there's just one other thing that I want to talk about that can also cause teams to underperform. And this is something that is becoming a really, really hot topic with a lot of my clients right now. Because more and more organizations are working in quite complex matrix structures. This is something I personally experienced when I worked at both Arthur Andersen and Deloitte. And a matrix structure is where you are working with a number of different people that you don't have authority over, but you need to influence to get things done. I actually really love the matrix organization because I think this encourages great collaboration. And when it's done well, it can mean that team members operate under this dual authority system in that they're reporting to their own line manager, as well as maybe a project manager for a larger project that they might be involved in. This matrix management only works well when there's great communication between all the parties involved and a degree of empathy and understanding between all the different stakeholders of what needs to get done. Because what can happen is that we can get competing priorities. And unless there's great communication and an understanding between everybody, then that's what can cause some conflict for the team members. And then that doesn't become a great experience for them. So the best way to turn around an underperforming team in this case is to really maximize communication. And Warren Bennis, who is an American scholar and organizational consultant, also believes that role modeling is super important as well. So we need to role model the behavior and the actions that we want our team members to do in order to demonstrate what great teamwork looks like. So we need to show team members that we care for them. We've got a degree of empathy and compassion. There's a lot being spoken about that in the workplace right at the moment. And our behaviors also need to help our team members understand what's important and what isn't. So that means that, according to Bennis, the four behaviors managers must become confident in to be good leaders is then there a management of attention, meaning, trust, and self. And I'll say this again, meaning, attention, trust, and self. And some of you might recollect that those are some of the attributes of the ABCDE model of leadership and also what some of the attributes of an impactful leader. Because we really need to pay attention to what's going on and have an understanding of the dynamics and the environment in which we're working. We need to know the meaning. We need to know the purpose, why we're doing what we're doing. It's also important that we build trust, that we build relationships with the people that we're working with. people want to have this sense of belonging. They want to be part of a team. And one of the ways to help people feel part of the team is to have great relationships within the team. And finally, leaders need to have that leader self that we talked about in episode one. So today we've touched on a number of different areas that can lead to a team underperforming. And we've looked at the hygiene factors and the motivation factors. We've looked at the fact that there's often signs that a team is underperforming. But in my experience, often leaders and managers want to stick their head in the sand and not really address the issue. So having this clear communication and letting people know what's expected of them in terms of that clear direction. Remember, clear direction is perhaps the number one reason why teams underperform. They don't understand what they're doing and how it fits into the bigger whole. So when we can make sure that there's clarity around those areas, then we're going to mitigate underperformance in our teams. Teamwork is just such a topic that I'm so passionate about because it can make just such a difference to how things perform in the workplace. And they are, as I've said before, this kind of superpower that can change the dynamics of how an organization operates and whether it achieves success or failure. So I'd really love to hear your thoughts on why you believe teams underperform. And what are some of the key drivers that we all need to be aware of in the workplace? And what can we do to change that going forward? Because in my view, teamwork is just going to continue to become more and more important in this VUCA world in which we live, where there is so much change happening at such a rapid rate. The only way that business is going to survive is if everyone collaborates together and works collectively to achieve success. So I really hope you found this podcast interesting. Please do reach out if you've got any comments or indeed if you want to share with us any examples or come on the podcast in the future and share with us what you've been doing within your organization to create high-performing teams or indeed if you're brave enough to want to come and share the things that haven't worked because I think there's so much value that we can all learn from when things don't quite go to plan. That's when we get massive learning opportunities. So thanks again for your time. Really hope that you have an amazing week and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Impactful Teamwork Podcast. Please stay tuned for future episodes and do subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating on your favorite platform. Recommendations are essential for attracting new listeners. Please follow us on social media at Julia Felton and at Business Horsepower. And if there are any topics you'd like us to cover on future episodes, please do let me know. Remember, you and your team are always making an impact. What impact will you make today?